Ready? My other mic is on. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Yeah, I think everyone can hear me, right? Well, praise the Lord. You know, I really like what Pastor Bill said, but the reason why all that is because of God. I'm going to let you folks know this. Because I've been complimented for operating under God's principles for many years, but I never neglect the fact of telling them it's not because of my own doing. I live by principles, and it's God's principles. So if you think I'm going to take the praise and credit for that, wrong. Because I share with young men. Right now, I would say 3 days a week. I said, we steal God's glory daily. And some young men, they look at me and they're wondering, like, why? How? Well, I let them know that you got to know exactly who your source is. And it's not your mom and your dad. Because when I start sharing this with them, I let them know that the source is the origin of where something comes from. Where did you come from? And naturally, it would say their mom and their dad. But I said, this is a domino effect. Well, this is going to go all the way back to the first man. You know, and God created him. Amen? Amen. I just felt led to share that with you because that's important to me. But first of all, I'll just say greetings to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank and praise God for the opportunity to be able to stand before you all and share the word of God and how it works, how it's been working for me. Because one thing that I will not do is, I've learned this here over the years, is that because I was really affected by this myself at a young age as a young Christian. Men always preached about Jesus. They preached about Jesus, but they didn't preach about how the Word of God is affecting their lives. It's important. It became very important to me because I refused, after I became knowledgeable of the Word of God, I refused to sit up under men that could not tell me how the Word was working for them. That's critical. Yes, it's very critical. So before I get into my lesson, I want to pray with you all, and I want to invite the teacher of the church matter. I don't have to invite him. He's already here, you know, because he came with me when I came in. Yeah, because I've been, the teacher of the church is dwelling inside of me. He's the one that's just going to enable me to share the word of God with you. And I guarantee you this, your heart is going to be, I'll say, pierced a little bit. Oh, he's going to convict your heart. Trust me. Because he's here. Because I'm going to share the word. I'm going to share, my message is based upon God's word. And also how the word has worked for me. Amen? Amen. So, Heavenly Father, I come before you with thanksgiving and praise, Father, all because of what your Son Jesus has done. I have accepted what he'd done as my substitute by dying on that cross. This enabled me to come before the throne of grace and plead my case with you, Father. And Father, I'm not asking you, but I'm just thanking and praise you, Father, for what you've provided for me, that give me the ability to stand before your people and share your word with them through the power of the Holy Ghost. This I pray in the precious and mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. So, saints, the title of my message is Controlling the Tongue. Controlling the Tongue. And my text is taken from James chapter 3. We serve a good and mighty God, folks. And one thing is, I'd like to just to share, you know, God has put some things into motion. And Pastor Bill shared some things here earlier before I started ministering to you about God has put things into motion. Yes, he has. They're there until he changes them. You know, you got to think about what Hebrews 13 and 8 says. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Not a shadow of changing. The key thing is, saints, is that as we continue to expose ourselves to the Word of God, and we understand the significance of doing what it says, change will take place in our lives. Amen? Because I can attest to that. Because we serve a great and mighty God. A great and mighty God. But I'm going to just share it basically from my experience because, you know, I want the younger people to really get this because I wish I was up under a teaching ministry like you are today. I wish I would have been exposed to that when I was your age. You know, so God has given me that opportunity to share that word with you. And you need to spend time in the word. Because any time that you say, well, I'm busy. I just don't have, you know what? You're too busy. Okay? You're way, way too busy. You need to, or you're way too busy, or you're not very organized. You need to organize yourself. Yes. Because I found that true in my own life. I had to organize myself. And boy, I'll tell you what. And I organized myself based upon God's principles. And boy, I'll tell you, you're talking about something that I experienced was just tremendous. God is good, folks. God is good. He is great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Now, we're in John chapter 3 and start James, excuse me. I thank you there, Sister Kathy. You know, like I hadn't turned over that. I was at John. Okay. All right. Starting with that first verse. Now, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, which I really like. I really like that. Okay? And I believe that young people, Pastor Bill always mentioned this. You know, that we don't speak that liver beef English. We don't speak that. We don't do that. But I tell you, when I can read something that's pertaining to the language I use on a daily basis, oh boy, that really ministered to me. Gives me some insight. Amen? Amen. So now, dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Well, I'll tell you what, that's Pastor Bill has ministered that to us, you know, and just a week or so ago. And because he shares some things that the Spirit of God has really just, revealed to me in the message that that he's led me to share. Okay. And that was about our mouth, our tongue, you know, because I interact with people And this is like Christian people all over. The words that come out of their mouth is just, man, I said, well, do they know who they are? Do they realize how powerful the words are? And as I continue to read this, I'm going to go back and I want to let you know how powerful words are. Amen? The second verse. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongue, we would be perfect, more mature. Not perfect, but mature. Amen? And could also control ourselves in every other way. Third verse. We can make a large horse to go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. Really kind of interesting, isn't that? Something that huge, in just a little bit, you can control it. This is what man does, is able to do. Amen? Now, moving right along, but we'll get right back to that. And the fourth verse. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the wind are strong. Fifth verse. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great force on fire. Sixth verse. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish. Eighth verse. But no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Boy, isn't that something? But now, I just want to share some of my personal experiences. Now, when I was a young boy, my dad was a contractor. Now, he had several trucks, and when I got old enough to drive, I was one of the individuals that drove, and I picked up like sawdust to take to the James E. Strait Circus. Anyone remember that? They used to have it right on East 12th Street. Do anyone remember that? Hey, you know what? I'm the only one to remember that. Hey, I'm only 76 years old. I mean, like, hey, but my reason for sharing that is that I seen a number of different animals there, and which was trained by men. But, you know, men were able to train these animals. But I was reading some information, pertaining to the lesson that I'm sharing with you, is that in Russia, men had trained grizzly bears, like huge grizzly bears, trained them, okay, and to ice skate. And look, you women know what a tutu is? With a tutu on. Now you're looking like a ballerina. Look, and wait a minute. Then he says, he's skating, he's on like 1 foot like this. I mean, like, isn't that amazing? That a man to train a big grizzly bear like that. Boy, I'll tell you. When I read that, I said, you got to be kidding me. And you know, we look at people have all kinds of pets. All kinds of pets that are trained. They have pets that I won't say that I'm afraid of, but I prefer not to associate with them or handle them with my hands. All right? You know, I've never been fond of those, you know. I'm not a lot like Pastor Bill. In some ways I am, you know, but Pastor Bill was, he was an outdoors guy. I'm an outdoors guy, but he had a lot of pets around, you know. You know, but training, you know, you look at, you can train all these type of animals. That's really something, isn't it? It's amazing. But yet, the tongue is like, now just mentioning snakes, okay? You got these big pythons, you have these black snakes, brown snakes, these that are not, I don't know if some of them are poisonous, but they can be trained or tamed. Right, well, you can just, and I learned that you can tame them by holding them. Okay? But one thing is about a rattlesnake, nervous. Very nervous. Okay? Just think about that. All right? But you know what? That tongue is labeled like the rattlesnake. Isn't that something? Boy, I'll tell you, you know, folks, you gotta understand the power that's in that tongue. The power that's in that tongue. Wow. And now, there's many of you that are familiar with rattlesnakes, and you don't want to be in the territory where snakes are. Amen? Think about the tongue of a person that there's no control. Think about it. Okay? Yeah. It's something that I want that to sink in, because that's something that we all interact with daily. Amen? Praise God, because we serve a great and mighty God. That's all I got to say. A great and mighty God. But we have to start somewhere. And I wanted to share my experience as a young man growing up. And I pretty much shared that about growing up and up under a preaching ministry, not a teaching ministry. So I lived a life that was hungering for more of God. And that was clarity in the Word of God on how I should live. And doing so, what I say is very important. And what I hear is very important. And this hearing comes from my association with the group that I'm exposed myself to. And sometimes it demands like separation. I can no longer tolerate this because it becomes very damaging to me. Because, you know, as you hang around with a crowd, it rubs off on you. You're influenced by that. Because as you come here weekly, the Word of God is going to affect your life. I believe, regardless if you come with an attitude of expecting something to happen, but over time, something's going to happen. Because if it did not, it really tells me that God's word doesn't really work. But that's not the case. because the Spirit of God is going to convict everyone's heart here, regardless of you've come with an attitude of expecting something or not. You're going to be affected by it because that's how powerful God's word is. It's impossible for you to sit up under the word of God and not be affected by it. And in saying that, someone with a tongue that's not controlled very well, you're going to be affected by that as well. So what we want to do is we want to find out what the word says and go from there. But I talked about the first verse was talking about teachers. Now, it was kind of intimidating, and not to the point where it was fearful. It was more like more reverence toward God, how teachers... Now, Pastor Bill is a teacher. Now, I would probably label him based upon scripture, like the old King James, a master teacher. Okay? Oh, yeah. Yes. But with me understanding that, but I look at myself as a person that's ministering the word of God, I'm going to be held accountable for what I say as well. Because God knows the power of words. When people are sitting here and they're listening to what I have to say. And I should be saying what thus say the Lord. Not my opinion. Amen? So that was a little bit intimidating with me, but I said, Father, I just thank you so much that I have the teacher of the church that's dwelling inside of me. That really helped me to be very accurate in the word. And what also when I'm studying the word. So now, verse 2. Well, I'm going to skip verse 2. I'm going to go to verse number 3. We talk about the large animals that we can control. You know, you think about horses. Boy, it's really amazing. It's amazing, boy, that men can train horses like this. And think about elephants. We can train elephants. It's really unique. Once upon a time, I had some guys telling me about how they train elephants because I never actually seen it. But some of you might. But what they did is they put a big chain around the elephant's leg. All right? And over time, and it was in like a big stake was in the ground. I think it was most like concrete. But it was a chain around it. And the elephant would struggle. It was struggled to get loose for a length of time. But over time, they took the chain off because he was convinced that if he struggled, it was to no avail. So the struggle ended. So he was tamed that all he did was just walk around in that area. That's it. That's all he did. But I thought that was very unique, but I think that we can be affected like that ourselves in somewhat. Amen? Just think about that. You know, and things that we're doing, the lifestyle we're living. So I want to move on here. Verse 5. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. Everyone here can identify with that, right? How many of you have made grand speeches? And the next day, something comes out of your mouth that curses people that are made in the image of God. And that's where I needed help. I needed help in that area. And as I continue to grow and mature in the Lord, one thing that happened as I ventured away from the church that I was at, I started associating with a group of younger people that was really hungry for God. And things started changing. And when we started having little Bible studies, we came across the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And that was something that I wasn't familiar with, because in that church that I was at, they never talked about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But the infilling of the Holy Spirit is very important for us, because when you study Scripture, it tells you right in the book of Acts, it tells you that you need a helper. And one thing is that I picked up over the years, but that doesn't happen here, but there's a chain of reaction in that process. Once the people are born, they accept Christ as their personal Savior, immediately they ask them, have you been filled with the Holy Ghost since you believe? So you need to have the infilling of the Holy Ghost right then, or not long after, like a few days. Because you need this help to live this life. Because the enemy is going to start, he's going to challenge you mentally in your head on what did you receive? And how are you going to be able to do this with all the stuff that you've been doing? Now you hear these voices, okay? You hear these voices saying these things to you, all right? And they're affecting you on how you respond to that. Sometimes you might run across some people that they don't believe in that. Hey, man, you receive everything that God had for you when you accept Christ as your personal Savior. You know, if you're not familiar with the Scripture, you would agree with that. The next thing you know, you're living, you might go for 20 years and not even realize that you need the power of the Holy Ghost operating in your life. You might be born again, but one thing that you got to understand this is that God did not develop that situation just to have it there. Wrong. No. The thief coming nothing but to steal, kill, and destroy. He do not want you to have God's best. He don't want you having his best. So, you know, the infilling of the Holy Ghost was really the big key that really just started, things started really clicking in my life. It really, the Holy Ghost, I prayed in the Holy Ghost continuously. I mean, like, when I was filled and I did it continuously, I was like motivated in my spirit to do it, because my spirit was hungering to communicate with the living God that I'm serving. I'll tell you, our God, He loves us very much. And there's a reason why I'm sharing this. You might think that, well, where is He going with this? I'm going somewhere, because remember what the Scripture says here in James. The tongue is untamable by men. But every single one of us needs the power of the Holy Ghost operating in our lives daily. Every day. And I say this, some of you, Pastor Bill has shared with us, he says, well, you know, and I thank God for Pastor Bill's heart and the way his compassion for you all. But you know what? Jesus is going to have this compassion for you as well. But you know what? He's not going to deviate from what his word says. You might say, first of all, he tells you if you come before him, there might be a situation you come before him and it might be pertaining to, something that where the Holy Ghost would help to help you and to open up some things. And, he might tell you, what does the word say? Why aren't you doing what the word says? What's your answer going to be? You think about it. The importance of the Holy Ghost is vital. Because, it helped me in every area of my life. It helped me, Pastor Bill talked about, and the Spirit of God was leading me. And there's a reason why the Spirit is prompting me to share what I'm going to share and also what Pastor Bill shared. The Holy Ghost will lead you to do exactly what the Word says. What God has required you to do in the Word. It's impossible for you to develop that when you're praying in the Holy Ghost. You will develop this attitude of pleasing God. Because all these things Pastor Bill said about me, the Holy Ghost has a lot to do with what goes on in my actions and what I do. Because my heart and desire is to please God. And I'll tell you what, saints, the blessings, I don't have any wants. I don't have any needs. And I'm not boasting and bragging because my God, like Pastor Bill, this is what I say. If I run into a problem where it's challenged financially, you know what I do? I said, Lord, you told me in your word. You said, bring all the tithes and offering to the storehouse. And you said, I'm proving and testing you that you would not pour out the wind of the blessing. I won't have room enough to contain it. So, and what I'm doing is I'm doing what Isaiah 43 and 26 said. I'm putting him in remembrance. And then Isaiah 40, 55 and 11 says, his word, when you do that, his word will not return to him void, but it will be successful to which he have sent it. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory. Hallelujah. Because my needs are met. Glory to God. And he is the reason why. Because the help of the Holy Spirit has encouraged me to do what the word says. Exactly what James. Because when you read James 1:22. Said, be not hearers only, but be ye doers of the word. Do what it says. Amen. So say what it says. Yes, right. I tell the Lord, I say what Philippians, says in 4:19. He'll supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. That's another thing. He wants us to keep our eyes off of what we're mustering up. Because that's limited. But his is unlimited. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, saints, we serve a great and mighty God. Hallelujah. Because that day when you stand before God and what you going to say when he asks you, why didn't you do what I said in reference of this? You know what? You're just going to be in awe. You're going to be speechless. But you have a chance. Everyone here has a chance to be obedient like now. Now, moving right along. Now we're talking about sickness and disease. When you've prayed for something, if you pray for some kind of healing, if you don't receive it instantly, okay, what's coming out of your mouth the next day or the next day? Are you putting him in remembrance based upon what his word says? Or you saying what the circumstances are saying? Or what some friend of yours, okay, is saying? Amen? But God expects for us to say what the word says. And one thing is that we have to really do. We have to, in order for that word to come out of here, We have to do what Joshua 1:8 says. Meditate in this day and night. And now when they say that day and night, he's talking about, you know, this. If you follow the leading of the Holy Ghost, he's going to lead you. Because he's not going to have you miss your job and you got to go to work. He's not going to have you miss your job. No. He's going to help to discipline you in your life. Amen. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Yes. He need us to say what the word says. Because what does Psalms, what Psalms say? Five, was that 3 and 5? Lean not unto your own understanding. Okay. Yeah, you don't want to do that because we're talking about spiritual things. All right. And now we always talk about this, and I always use one part of the verse, and Kathy used the other. It says, Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, you know, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That mind need to be renewed from that stinking thinking before you were born again. Okay, I'm telling you, because all that worldly stuff, hey, and look here. The enemy's going to continue to try to bombard that mind. Okay? And if you succumb to it by saying something out loud, you might not say it in the presence of anyone, but you're speaking the word. Okay? And what happens is you got to realize that if you say things that are not based upon this word, boy, you open up the door for the enemy to cause some havoc in your life. Because, folks, there are many people. Now, I'm just going to share just a little bit of this about the God of this world, the first God of this world. I mean, when I want to say the God of this world system was Adam. Yeah, he gave way to it. He gave it up. Because if you read Luke chapter 4 and verse 6, it tells you. Because see, Matthew don't tell you about when he was tempting Jesus, when he took him up the high pinnacle of this tabernacle. He said, the pinnacle, he says, showed him all the splendors of the world. And he says, I'll give all this to you if you just bow down and worship me, because it's been surrendered unto me. And one of the, who surrendered it to him this year? Adam did. Okay? And realize now, Jesus came and took that stuff back. And that's one of the reasons why we have to share. That's why we have to pray in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus is the second Adam, believe it or not. Okay? He came and lived the life that God knew that Adam could do, but he needed help. He needed help. You know, I'm telling you, we serve a great and loving God. Hallelujah. And I want to share this because once I was filled with the Holy Ghost, I always was looking for examples from Jesus, what he did. And where Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost, because there's people that don't realize that Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, he was filled with the Holy Ghost when he was baptized by John the Baptist. Okay? And then the key thing is, once he was filled, then the scripture said he was led into the wilderness. Now, that being led, now the scripture tells us about what we need to be doing. Be led by the Spirit. Okay? Yeah, we need to be led by the Spirit to be able to do the things that we do in our daily lives where God is glorified. Amen? And that we can be a great example to those that are lost, that do not know him. Amen? We serve a great God. And I said all to say this is that we have to be careful the words we use loosely. Okay? Yes, we have to be very, very careful. Amen. because the enemy has some rights and authority. If we don't use the right words, we don't say the right things. It's imperative we say the right thing. You know, say what God says. Because what does Ephesians 5:1 says? Tells us to be imitators of God as dear children. Be imitators of God as dear children. We need to imitate, mimic what God says. That's exactly what we need to do. And you might say it's hard. But you know what? That's why the helper is there to help you. And the key is that you need to spend time in the Holy Ghost, and you need time to fellowship with God. Fellowship with Jesus. Fellowship with Him. Because, saints, I can tell you, it is very satisfying and pleasing. I cannot tell you or share with you the fullness of that satisfying in my life. Because there's times when I've gone, now this, I'm not boasting and bragging, but this is how contagious it is. When you're used to spending time, there's a time in the day that I go to cathedral prep, like I'd be there by 3 o'clock. I get up, I make my wife tea and myself tea, and she goes in the room, and hey, her quiet time, I go in the day bedroom. Hey, look here. We're on it. Unless the time where we're, the Spirit of God lead us, where we're going to be in prayer in agreement for something, where we come together. But there's times when I don't get enough. See, I know Pastor Bill because he shared that with me, and I could see it all over. And I feel it. My spirit can identify, can bear witness with that. I know what he's talking about. And that's the way it should be with all of us, because our work schedule, not too busy. No. That's a choice. You put other things ahead of the things of God. And we need to spend more time praying in the Holy Ghost, because He's in a loving way, He's going to lead you. And He's going to love you. He's going to love you. He's going to love you. Because the words, I want to share this, is that in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37, you know, every word, you're going to give account for every word, every idle word you speak. And I'll tell you, folks, we need some help. We need help. You know, and also in Proverbs 6, verse 1 and 2, they are snared with the words of thy mouth. Instead of speaking life, speaking death. Because, saints, God's word work. I've seen it work. I've seen it work. I've seen it work. And I've seen it work where God's presence was moved out of a situation and total havoc came in. That wasn't God. Because if you think about Sodom and Gomorrah, but one thing is, another thing is that faith-filled words will put you over. Remember that. Fearful words will defeat you. And those fearful words goes back to what I said about finances. What you're saying something, that you're fearing God's word not working. But it's always work. It never returns to him void. The only way, if you're not experiencing that in your life, what you need to do is start putting some of it to practice. I guarantee you, he'll meet you right there. And I'm going to start my closing here. Words are the most powerful thing in the universe. I think I did not know that, but I've learned that. So I'm very selective in the words that I use. Very. I try not to be very, like, arrogant or... Because everywhere I go, I try to be sensitive to that. I try to be sensitive to the Spirit every day, every minute of the day. People are saying things, and I says, "You ought to not to say that, because there's power in words." And you know, and everyone that I've said that to had a smile on their face. And I said, "You know the power of words?" He says, "Yes, I do." I said, "You want to be careful." Because I did not say to them that you open up. They might think I was crazy because they might not believe that there is a devil that exists. You open up the door for him to come in. Then you wonder why this happening. Okay? Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God for the power of the Holy Ghost. Be careful with your words. Always speak words that edify and give praise. And that's something that I had to learn in the Holy Spirit. Once I received the Holy Spirit and start getting... more understanding with the help of the Holy Spirit and also sitting up under teaching, it was the best thing that ever happened in my life. And I found out that's what God wants for me, not only me, but for every single one of you. And all of this will take place with the assistance of the Holy Spirit in your life in controlling that unruly thing, that tongue that's full of wickedness. Because remember, God created this body of ours, our soul. He created everything that's inside of it. Only thing he didn't create was the confusion that we have and the things that happened after the fall of man. Okay? There's many things, and that's why it's so critical that we are born again, you know, because we need to be brought back into right standing with him. And it's great, boy, I'll tell you, his love is so great. He sent his only begotten son to die of a humiliating death. And saints, I think about Christ, that movie. No. You know, just reading some things of Rick Renner in April, he has designated for the resurrection. Look, he hung up on the cross naked and he was shameful and he was beat to a pulp. He was just a blob of flesh up there. Because if you have any idea how Romans, how they tortured, it was just, oh boy. I don't think anyone here could survive that. Because just watching the Christ before, when they're doing that, I look at it and say, oh man, they had a whip. They rode on horses with these there, I forget the name on basketball, with the stickers on. They rode by and just hitting him in the face, just tearing the flesh off, not putting a mark in it, ripping the flesh apart. Did all that, that you might be healed of every disease and every infirmity that would attack your body. And that has to be done by receiving it by faith. You know, if someone comes and lay hands on you, okay, receive that by faith. It's just a form of contact. When they're telling you, boy, hey, just receive. Thank and praise God that he's answered your prayer and you receive your healing. It's not really, you know, like as difficult as some people make it out to be, because basically it's here, and they're not, the word is not really in them. But sometimes, like Pastor Bill has taught, there's when the Spirit of God just comes and as the Spirit wills, and someone's healed instantaneously. But see, that's not, we're not supposed to live by that. We're supposed to live by faith. Because we serve a great and mighty God. But that's how things work in the Spirit. As it will. Not as like we want it to work. You know? It doesn't tell us that we should look for miracles in that. It said the just shall live by faith. Don't be looking for those things. You come in there looking for that. Uh-oh. You might not get anything. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But saints, I pray that you've got something out of the message that I shared, because we serve a great and mighty God, and he has a plan. He has a plan that he's already established for us. And I encourage every one of you to, if you don't know what your covenant right is, get in the word. Learn your covenant so you can put God in remembrance based upon what his word says. When you have a situation, circumstance in your life. Because he wants to bless you. Actually, let me reframe that. He's already blessed you. He wants you to be able to take advantage of what he's already made available for you. Because that's what it is. Okay? It's already there. You got to take it. You know? We serve a loving God. So, saints, you know, like I said... You know, I hope you just got something out of it. Praise God for that. I thank God for the opportunity to be able to share my heart with you in reference of the power of the tongue. And you can control it through the power of the Holy Ghost. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. You know, just be a little bit more selective in responding. Sometimes in situations and circumstances, sometimes it's best to keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. Right, because if it's not going to glorify God, it might just open up the door for the enemy to come in and cause some havoc in your life. You know, and you not even knowing it. Just out of ignorance, you know, hey, you don't want to go there, you know. You want to be led by the Spirit of God, you know, where God can be glorified in your life daily. Amen? So now, I want to give anyone that hasn't received Christ as their personal Savior, you know, because I don't want to close without giving the opportunity to receive Christ as your personal Savior. Is anyone here that has not received Christ as their personal Savior? And also, is anyone here that has not been filled with the power of the Holy Ghost? You know, there's other scriptures that I did not even mention about. But this is what the Spirit of God led me to share. If you haven't received, you can receive it through the laying on the hands. Oh, yeah, you can receive it. You know, you can come up and if myself, I can lay hands on you, and Pastor Bill will lay hands on you and receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. But if you don't, or just pray about it, all of you that are, I encourage you, spend time playing in the Holy Ghost. Okay? Because being led by the Spirit, that's something that goes hand in hand with being filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay? You know, like, you know, in my notes, I had, once I received, I learned the Jesus was being led by the Holy Spirit, so I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so I can be led by the Spirit. So that's where it really opened my eyes, that I needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost, to be led by the Spirit of the living God, because all he's going to do is talk about the things of God. Amen? Amen. Right, so there's everyone in here, I assume, is born again. Amen. Amen. Hey, praise God. So, Pastor Bill, I can dismiss everyone. You know, you don't have to, but if you, you know, praise God, you know. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Yeah, get that. You get it? Got it? Yeah.